Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 19th of December, recording at 9:20 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Stock markets, more of the same. Steady action in Asia. Indonesia was a very minor exception, I think down less than 0.5%. And the biggest gains were by Japan, up 2.75% for the topics. Is that a little bit overextended in the short term? Yes, but it's part of a big political story. More on that in a moment. Thailand, up over 1%. And the Philippines, which had become quite overextended, you remember about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago? And it saw an orderly pullback, which it needed, but it was up 2% today. So after that short-term overbought reaction and consolidation, healthy action overall. Now in Europe, markets were reassuringly steady once again. I hear less and less of the crisis word mentioned in the same breath with Europe. Now, that steady action includes the UK FTSE 100 index, which is testing the upper side of its range since 2010. Since late 2010, it's had an upper boundary of just over 6,000, and that's being approached. And I think it's going to have a good challenge overall. Now, also, have a look if you're not familiar with these charts, particularly those who are still worried about Europe. Have a look at the Euro Stoxx 50 index. Remember that? That's SX5E. And that's the one that had been consolidating its gains off the, albeit off the lows, but it had held on to most of those gains, at least three quarters of the gains during that consolidation, quite a tight orderly consolidation, and it's broken upwards again. Did that a few days ago, and it's extending the move overall. And that's good news, continuing to move away from what was an historically oversold condition as people overreacted to the crisis, in my view. Now, also, have a look at the SX7E, that's that European banks index, and that shows similar action, so that's favorable overall, no doubt about it. Now, in the Americas, Wall Street and Mexico were down for a change. I think on Wall Street, this is more anxiety over the fiscal cliff impasse. We always thought this was going to be torturous, didn't we, on this? It's also a bit pathetic overall. And we also know that this is just fiddling around at the edges here. The Republicans aren't recommending anything all that significant, and Obama is, of course, resisting any change at all and is more interested in the spending side. So until or unless that U.S. economy eventually moves into a stronger growth phase with the help of its cheap oil, and I'm not holding my breath on that really stronger growth phase, although I'm hoping that 2013 might be a little better than generally expected. That debt situation, it remains very scary. I don't want to digress too much on that because we've been over it before. Now, meanwhile, Brazil's recovery continues. And there's a little bit of a China influence there. I certainly think so. Now elsewhere, bond prices, they remain soft, as are precious metals. It's been especially gold in the precious metals. and it's a favorite with the high-frequency trading people. Palladium is an exception there, at least so far. It's holding up near the higher side of its range. But what about the gold? And I certainly can't blame all that pullback on the HFT people. If any of it, does it indicate that maybe there's a little bit less interest in safe havens here right now? Because, well, I think bonds are a bubble, and I've said it on a number of occasions. It hasn't burst yet, especially as all that QE is piling into those bond markets, enabling these governments, these Western governments in particular, and also Japan, to borrow up to their eyeballs and then buy all the stuff up on the QE, the money printing that's going on. That's scary for the distant medium term. Hopefully not the short term, where I don't think too much for the short term. But my point was really that those who had bought precious metals and bonds because they were terrified of the rest of the world, well, I think those people are less terrified, and so there may well be some drifting away from those markets as exciting things have been happening, not least the very good rally in global stock markets, and the fact that how many of all those bears would have predicted that European stock markets would be at these levels, or that Asian stock markets would be at these levels, or even that Wall Street would be at these levels? Not many, not many, I think. Now, also, the US dollar has been in a softer phase generally, although it cut its losses in here today as Wall Street went down. I didn't mention the numbers on that. The Dow's down 0.75%. It's nearly 100 points on the Dow. It's not heavy stuff, but it is a little overbought in the short term, and we've also got the S&P down 11 points in here. Smaller decline in the NASDAQ. That's probably favorable. And elsewhere in the review, crude oil was firm in here today. Well, it's been firm for the last few days, and the charts clearly indicate that both the Brent and the WTI are encountering support near the lower side of their recent trading ranges. Now, going in the other direction, corn, wheat, and soybeans, they were down today and they're still weakening overall. And that's very good news for consumers. I was concerned about that earlier in the year when those were so strong. So it's a relief. I've been expressing that relief when we saw those trends, since we saw those trends lose upside momentum. Now, the encouraging factor there is a generally positive outlook so far for the South American crops, which are certainly very important. And if nothing goes wrong there, that's always a big if, isn't it, with these agricultural commodities. But if nothing goes wrong there, and, well, why not hope here, because we've had some bad years, if that can be matched by a decent crop in the US and Europe later next year, then that will be very, very good news indeed. Let's hope that happens. Okay, now, last but not least, the big stories. Well, I've been over these big stories on a number of occasions, but China is certainly one of them. And it's very steady in here overall. And have a look at that long-term chart of the Shanghai index that we post from time to time. That's SHASHR. And you'll notice, what is it, 9-10 lower rally highs. I think it's progression of since the peak that we had in mid-2009 when they suddenly, China's government suddenly turned off the taps because they were afraid that they were funding another big property bubble, and indeed they were. So they turned off the taps, and that went and became a serial underperformer, and fell for, what, over 3.25 years, really conspicuous by its underperformance. But that's changed really quite dramatically in the last month or so. And we've broken that long progression of lower rally highs, as Owen and I have been mentioning. And while I've been over that before, I'm re-emphasizing it in here today because, having been a serial underperformer, the world's second biggest stock market is likely to be an outperformer, particularly among the big countries, and it's going to take so many markets with them. It's good for the Asian region generally. It's very good for those bombed out mining shares, which have had a good recovery, but I think it's only the initial recovery. So that's quite exciting. I mentioned Brazil also benefiting from that, major, major commodity producer. And just think of all those people who were fretting about China. And they're going to have to revise those forecasts fairly quickly, I think. And also Japan. I mean, my goodness, we've waited 22 years, is it, for a change of policy in terms of monetary policy? And Shinzo Abe is going to force that through. Now, Shirakawa at the Bank of Japan, his term does not expire until April. Now, might he roll over and do what he's told, or might he remain defiant? Well, he's been pretty defiant, saying yes, but when he really meant no. Throughout the last couple of governments' tenure. But this is a big story. This is a really huge change. And with so many other countries just devaluing like mad, engaged in the competitive devaluation, there was China with its exporters suffering and suffering and suffering and suffering. Now look at that list that Owen produced yesterday. It's particularly, I think, the sixth paragraph down. It's an important one. And, you know, it's got companies like Sony in there. These are, there must be close to a dozen of them. And these are big household names. And, you know, those shares have been absolutely hammered because their profits have gone down, their earnings have gone down, and because of the strong, largely because of the strong yen. Now, I'll also add, just as a note of caution here, that also there were some management problems along the way, in the sense that if the environment is generally bad overall, then management does tend to deteriorate. But then it also improves in that it's revitalized, same thing really, when things start getting better. And I think it's pretty clear that Shinzo Abe is going to make absolutely certain that yen weakens further, and therefore I think it will. That's very bullish for some of these extremely bombed out formerly classy and maybe classy in the future Japanese exporters. And then you can hedge it as I've been doing with a short position in the Japanese yen. And last but not least, see Owen's terrific review of the banking sectors globally. When banking sectors are going well, we don't want to be too bearish. And on that note, all the best to all of you.